Good morning, church. I pray that you've come this morning because you want to receive a blessing from God. I truly want to be a blessing to you because I believe that this desk is a desk of influence. It's a desk of power because from this desk comes forth the word of God to persuade you to be obedient to it. Because preaching has a purpose to move God's people to love God's word and obey it. As you look at this sign over here, this side of the church, could you read this with me? Ready? Who has influenced you to live a great life? If you will think about that for a minute, you know there have been people in your life that have influenced you. You did not make every decision on your own. There was loving, godly people that had an influence on you. And you also know some people that had a what? A bad influence on you. But you come over to this side of the church and you read this with me. It says what? Who have you influenced to live a great life? That's your question. Who have you influenced to live a great life? People who have influence give hope and strength to the weak and the hopeless. We're going to begin our Mount of Byram conference knowing that this is our theme right here. Until the whole world hears. But do you know that I cannot reach the whole world with my mouth? But I can influence some. And that's what God will ask me when I meet Him. The work He entrusted to me, those that influenced me, and those that I influenced, that I influenced them for Him. And so as we've come this morning, we want to think about this idea of influence. And we want to look to the Word of God. But I want to ask you this. If you ever get an opportunity to meet someone who's accomplished something in their life, I want you to ask them this question so that you might grow and learn. And here's the question. Who or what has influenced you to achieve your goals in life? Who or what has influenced you to achieve your goals in life? Now, if you ask a humble man, you're going to be blessed by the answer. But if you ask a proud person, you just throw it away because it's going to be bad, all right? They're not going to tell you the real reason they've accomplished what they've accomplished. So having asked this question in my life to many people that have achieved, here's two of the great answers that I've received from them. There's two categories. One is a category of people and one is a category of problems. Okay, in the category of people, first, a person who loved me and believed in me influenced me to be and do more. Now listen to the different categories that we have. These were often parents, pastors, a message that the pastor delivered, missionaries, teachers, deacons, personal devotions, coaches, biographies of other great people, the example of a hero, and godly friends. Those are the things that influence people to accomplish their goals. Then there was a second group of answers, and that had to do with trials or problems that forged a resolve in that person to overcome. Sometimes God puts problems in our lives so that we will be determined to overcome them, to solve the problem that we might please Him. Now, growing up, I did some very foolish things. And whenever my mom would find out I did one of these foolish things, here was her patent question. Why did you do that? And then I always would put my head down and say, Mom, all my friends were doing it. And here's what she would say every time. And she's here to tell you if I'm lying. She said, if all your friends jumped off a bridge, would you do it? Mom? That's what she would ask me. You see, if all your friends jumped off the bridge, would you also jump off the bridge? And you know what? We have a lot of people that are influencing us to literally jump off the bridge. And a lot of us are following them to do the most foolish things that you can imagine. And when someone asks you, why did you do that? You will say, I was influenced by my peers. And I was not influenced by the Word. I believe that every person here today can improve their personal influence by following these five powerful examples from the life of Joshua. Turn with me in your Bible to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 24. Joshua is going to be our example in the things that he said as he was leaving the people of Israel. Influence, following godly leaders. I want to begin in Joshua chapter 23. We'll get to 24 in a minute. In Joshua chapter 23, I'm going to read the first six verses. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all of Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised you. Now listen carefully to verse 6. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside, neither to the right hand or to the left. We're going to look at five examples this morning. And the first example that Joshua gives us is found in verse 6. It is a call to obedience. If you will have an influence on anyone around you, the first step is you must first obey the whole law of God. You cannot disobey the law of God and be a great influence on somebody else. You must first walk the walk that you're calling them to follow you. And so as Joshua got to the end of his days, he was one of those spies that went into the land of Canaan. He was one of those men that could say, we are well able to overcome it. He was one of those men that saw the giants and knew he was a grasshopper. And he said, we must go up at once. Joshua loved God. And he knew that his responsibility was obedience to God. And you cannot call other people to obey while you live in disobedience. As parents, I can't ask my son to obey God while he watches me disobey God. If I would influence my son, I must first obey the law of God that I might be an influence to him. Not with what I say, but who I am. So that what I say has power. Often we wonder, how come when I talk, people don't listen? How come when I explain, people don't get it? Sometimes our life is shouting so loud, they can't hear what we ourselves are saying. And so if you want to be a man of influence, a woman of influence, Joshua calls you first and foremost. He says you must obey. And listen, he tells you be very courageous. Do you know it's not easy to obey the word of God? It takes some great courage. When he said be very courageous, he's saying hold on firmly with a determined heart. It will not be easy to obey the law of God. When God says to you, go and kill a giant, you say, you know, Lord, do you see how small I am? When he says, Ananias, go and pray for Paul, he says, hey God, do you know that Paul has papers to kill us? Do you think it's easy to obey God? No. If you're going to obey the law of God, what's the first thing you need? Courage. Be very courageous. And then he says, keep and do it. That word keep means to honor or observe. And so we're going to have to honor the word of God and not just say, I know what the word of God says, not just have the Ten Commandments in our house. You must honor and do it. Like Nike tells you, just do it, right? And this is what Joshua said, and Nike's stealing it from Joshua. He said, listen, you're going to have to honor God's word and do it. You can't tell people that this is the law of God that's good and then disobey it and have an influence for God. You will cause the nations to blaspheme. If Word Baptist Church says we love the world, then Word Baptist Church must what? Love the Word. And then what? Do it. And so the first call that we must deal with this morning is, am I faithful to obey the Word of God? Or do I look at the Ten Commandments as multiple choice? Do I look at the Word of God and say, there's parts of this I like, and there's parts of this that really don't apply to me? And so we have a problem. I want to be an influence for God. Well, if I will influence anyone else to do something great, I must first live in obedience to the Word of God. That's what Joshua taught the children of Israel as he was well stricken in age, coming to the end of his days. He didn't stop there. He gave them the next thing. And we'll begin reading in verse 7. We'll go down to verse 11. In verse 7 he says, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the names of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. Listen to verse 8. But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. Does that word cleave ring a bell with you? Where else have you heard that word cleave in the Bible? It's in the marriage vow, right? We're supposed to what? Leave our father and mother and cleave to our wife. And you have to know what an intimate word that is. God is saying, listen, I want you to abandon all of these gods. I don't want to hear you say their name. I don't want to see you bow down. I don't want to see you fellowship with them. I want you to cleave to me. And so as Joshua is telling them, if you want to have influence, great influence on people, you are going to have to be faithful to God. So first he says, there's a call to obedience. And second he says, there's a call to faithfulness, to cleave to God. God is very jealous over us. We go on in verse 9 and it says, for the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you as he hath promised you. Now look, verse 11, take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. If I were to ask you this morning, church, what is the first and great commandment? You know that God says he wants you to love him with what? All your heart. All your what? All your soul. All your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And this is what God expects from us. So as Joshua is calling the people of Israel, he said, listen, first you must obey the law. Honor it. Keep it. Do it. Second, you must be faithful to God. And in this faithfulness to God, it was in direct correlation to idol worship. And we in America think, you know what? We don't bow down to idols. We don't serve idols. But yet, we have a humongous idol that we carry around in our pocket. And we worship this idol. We love this idol. When that idol is strong, we think everything is good. And when that idol is empty, we think everything is bad. But sometimes God will use leanness in our life to draw us back to him. Because in prosperity, we forget him. Remember in Proverbs chapter 30, the request of Agur was what? Lord, do not give me riches lest I what? Forget you. And Lord, don't give me extreme poverty lest I steal. And that would be a tragedy against your name. And so listen, the first call that Joshua gives is for obedience. But you know what? You can be obeying God and not be faithful. And God says, listen, you might obey me in these things, but I want you to know I care about your love for me. I not only want you to obey me, I want you to do it with what? With love. He doesn't want just obedience. He wants obedience motivated by love. He doesn't want you to be here and say, hey, I got to go to church. Pastor said the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves. So I got to drag myself to church and sit in that pew and endure another week. That's not with love. That's not leaving and cleaving. Leaving the idols and cleaving to the Lord. Some of you find it tough when your favorite team is playing to get off the couch and turn it off and come here because there's a problem with your love. There's a problem with your love and what you love more. That game will not matter in eternity. But But I tell you, what happens here will matter in eternity. You need to check your love. And so he said, first, I call you to obedience. Second, I call you to faithfulness. Love God. Thirdly, he goes on to challenge them. As we come to the third point, we're going to go down to verse 14. He says, and behold, this day, I am going the way of all the earth. Listen, I'm going to die. And ye know in all your hearts and in your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as good all the good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you an evil, the evil things until he has destroyed you from off this good land, which the Lord your God hath given you. When ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed down yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. Now listen, the third thing that he calls them to is a call to remembrance. A call to remembrance. He says to them in this verse, verse 14, he says, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. Do you know that all that God has promised me, he's kept his promise? He's not failed one. He's faithful. Anytime Steve Vellante has a problem, it's a lack of faithfulness in Steve Vellante. There is never a faithfulness in my God. And so Joshua is reminding the children of Israel, listen, I want you to remember that whatever God promises, he does it. He is a faithful God. The problem's with us. And so when he calls them to remembrance, I want you to remember this. Obey me and I what? Bless you. Disobey me and I what? Curse you. This call to remembrance is not just a good thing. It's a fearful thing. If I'm obeying the law of God, if I'm faithfully in love with God, then when I remember the promises of God, I have great joy. But if I've gone astray from God, if I've disobeyed God, then what should this remembrance drive into my heart? Fear of judgment. You're much better off obeying the law of God, being faithful to God, so that when you remember the promises of God, they're yea and amen. And you're saying amen. But when you're disobedient to God, when you're not faithful to him and you remember his promise, what happens? You understand that you're in trouble. You understand that you are going to be punished. And you understand it's the bed that you made and you're going to lie in it. And so we understand that when we're talking about who have you influenced to live a great life, the first thing I must do is, Steve, am I obeying the law of God? Number two, Steve, am I faithful to my God? Am I cleaving to him in love? Number three, I must remember his promises that they will not fail. If I fall in love with this world, I will not be thinking about my home in heaven. I will not live for eternity. I will not live for his glory. I will live for here and now. And I will squander my life on unnecessary things, thinking this is all there is. But when I remember he's going to prepare a place and he's coming again, I live a different life. Because I'm remembering, there's a day I'm going to meet him, and I want to hear the applause of the nail-scarred hands saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Amen. I don't want all of my works to be burned because they were wood, hay, and stubble. I want them to endure the gold, silver, and precious stone. And so I say, God, I want to be an influence for you. He says, fine, number one, obey my law. Number two, be faithful to me. Cleave to me in love. Don't do what I tell you to do because you have to. Do what I tell you to do because you're motivated to please me in love. Listen, if every time your spouse asks you to do something, you throw up your hands and say, I guess I have to. Because I married you, I just guess I have to do these things. Listen, when my wife wants me to do something and I want to show her I love her, I say, it's my pleasure to do that. It's my pleasure to do that. Why? Because I want to show her I love her. And if you come to church and you say, I've been serving in the children's ministry long enough, it's somebody else's turn. You're not going to convince me you've served the Lord with love. You're not going to convince me that you sang in the choir for love when you're thinking about quitting because you're getting tired. Because they that wait on the Lord renew their strength. We should never get tired of serving the Lord. There is no retirement in the church. You might retire from work, but you won't retire from your service to God. And so we have to remind ourselves that my influence is based on, first and foremost, my obedience to the Word. Second, my faithfulness to cleave to God in love. Thirdly, my influence has to do with my remembrance of the promises of God. Then Joshua goes on to tell them, number four, we're going to read in verse 14. He says, now therefore, I'm now in chapter 24:14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Amen? Amen. The fourth thing He called them to was worship. Worship. There's a call to worship. You'll never have a great influence if you don't have a desire to worship God. And I want you to know worship isn't a Sunday morning thing. Worship is 24/7. Worship is your personal devotion. Worship is family devotion. Worship is working hard at work, not pilfering from your employer. Worship is keeping your word. Worship is loving your wife. Worship is training up a child in the way they should go. Worship is not the singing service of this church. Worship is everything I do in obedience to God. Sin is everything I do in disobedience to God. So you have to ask yourself, how have I been worshiping this week? Because any command of God, can you believe I can be on a date with my wife and I'm worshiping because God told me to love my wife? And when I love my wife and have a strong home, my children grow up to love my God and they see a good picture of Christ in the church. And so there's gifts that we give. This honor that we give the Word of God, we lift it up in our worship in every part of our life. And so you can't think, I'm going to church. This is what we call corporate worship. The body has come together. The body here in Fort Worth is meeting to worship God. But you know what? When you leave, you're going to continue worshiping God. Some of us find it difficult to worship when we drive. We get mean and possessed by a devil. And you know, we have to be careful because, you know, you say, I'm not worshiping now, I'm driving. There's never a time that we're not worshiping unless we're sinning. And so everything that we do is unto the Lord. And so Joshua calls the people, look what he tells them to do. Number one, in verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord. Respect Him. Be careful how you address Him. Be careful how you approach Him, because it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Today in America, I think we're at an all-time low respect for our God. People are going to question God. Where was God in Newtown, Connecticut? He's high and He's lifted up and His train fills the temple. And He didn't fail those children. And He will never fail anyone. 2,000 years ago, He said, I love you. And He died for people. And some atheist and some crazy wacko nut job is not going to question my God. And I'm going to sit by and say, oh, that's okay. I'll hide behind the pulpit. That God has lost His power. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's holy. And the reason why you're worried when someone throws a stone at your God is because you think you're supposed to protect Him. My God is big enough to protect Himself. I have to keep telling His message till He comes. And there will come a day when He will stand before all the world and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And on that day, those who have called upon the name of the Lord will not be ashamed. You might feel a little ashamed today. You might feel a little ashamed when you're in the minority. But when you're on the winning side, standing with Christ, remembering His promises, you will not be ashamed. Amen. Hang on, the game's not over yet. Jesus is coming, and He's the game changer. But until He comes, He said what? Be faithful. love me, serve me. And so there's a call. If I want to have influence, I know, Steve, I have to obey the word of God. Nobody's obeying it. Obey it anyways. Because if everybody jumps off the bridge, are you going to do it? And if you do, my mom will ask you the question after the service. You see, just because the world is killing their children, just because the world is marrying men and men and women with women, we must stand on the word of God. And so let's not be afraid to stand on the word. Because Joshua said to the people, listen, there's a lot of pressures on you right now, but number one, obey the word of God. Number two, be faithful to God. Cling to him in love. When was the last time you clung to the Lord in love and just went to your prayer closet to boast on him, brag on him, love on him? I tell my wife, the older I get, the less use I have for telling God what to do. And when you get to prayer time, what are you going to tell him to do? Just tell him how much you love him and how much he's blessed you and how you want to serve him tomorrow and you want him to lead you and guide you. But you know what? My children are sick. This problem comes up. I don't even know what to tell God, because sometimes he's using those sickness to mold my kids to be who he wants them to be. Should I pray against his will and then say in Jesus' name, do what I want? Amen? No, it has to be your kingdom come, your will be done. So we can't pray all these selfish prayers. Sometimes we pray and pray and we're angry with God, say prayer doesn't work. No, you're just not praying right. And then we blame God that prayer doesn't work. You think prayer is twisting God's arm to get what you want and you don't understand prayer. Prayer is being so in love with God that you go to your prayer closet and say, God, help me to like what you like. Amen. Thy will be done. Amen. And then we come out of our prayer closet and saying, God's now going to strengthen me to carry this load. And so these were the instructions Joshua was giving. He was giving them these instructions because he was calling them to worship. And this is how you're going to have a great impact. But look at verse 15. He says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord. Do you know, I believe there's some visitors here this morning. Did you hear what Joshua just said? Joshua said for him, he's been with God for a long time, and he's almost ready to die. He says, for me and for my house, we're going to continue serving the Lord. That's what we're going to do. And for some of you, this morning is the game changer for you. You have served the world, you've served her gods, you've looked for satisfaction in the things of the world. Whether you've looked in alcohol, drugs, relationships that don't please God, that are outside his will for you, and you said, you know what, I've pursued happiness everywhere I can and I haven't found it, and the world has left me broken and undone, and I need a savior, I need a family, I need strength, I need someone who's going to influence me to live a great life. And I want to come to Word Baptist Church, where other people who love God, who obey his word, who are faithful to him and cleave to him in love, and remember his promises, and have covenanted to worship him. Because you know what Word Baptist Church is? It's a congregation of people that said, we will worship God. We're not perfect. We're still struggling in the flesh, and we'll fail you. But our covenant is, we love God, and we want to lift him up. We want to worship him. And so if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Steve, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. I've heard of him. I've seen the Christmas story. My whole life I've heard about Jesus, but I myself don't know him. Then today is a day when you can say, for me and my house, the house that I have influence in, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Because you must understand, because of Adam, the influence of Adam, the imputation of sin. You were born in sin. You were born the enemy of God. But through Jesus Christ has come to make you whole. He's come to reconcile you to God. And if this morning you would place your faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus promises you that your sins will be taken away as far as the east is from the west. And so what Joshua is saying to these people, listen, it's time to make a covenant to worship God. He says, we will worship God. He commanded the people to worship God. And so there is a need for the worship of God. If you're going to have any influence in your life, you must be a worshiper of God, because that's the only thing that's going to matter at the end of your life. If you influence people to chase the world, their end is destruction. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is what? Destruction. If a man will choose Jesus Christ, he is the way, the truth, and the life. The last thing that Joshua asked the people to do was make a commitment. And church, here's where we have a problem. We have a big problem with making commitments to God. You imagine that a husband and wife would walk down the aisle for a wedding, the bride and the groom, and the groom is down there waiting for his bride. She comes down to the front, and the pastor says to the bride, "Do you take this man to be your lawfully wedded wife? Will you have him and hold him and cherish him for sickness till death do us part?" And she says, "No, today I'm not really in a mood to make a promise because I'm not sure I can keep it. But I'll live with him and see how it goes." I'll tell you, I as a preacher, pastor, I wouldn't marry them. I don't know about you. I would tell them they better come back another day when they're ready to promise. And so many people come to church and they love John 3:16, but they've never once come to the altar to make a promise to God. Amen. A commitment, a covenant with God that says, "God, this is my life and I'm giving it to you because I don't even know what's best for it. You gave me this life. You redeemed me. It really belongs to you, but I will surrender it to your use." Whatever it is, you say, "Well, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm this, I'm that." It doesn't matter what you are. You need to commit that life to Christ that he would use it in wherever he has you. And so he's calling them to a time of commitment. So look what he does in verse 19. "And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord. For he is a holy God, he is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he had done you good." He just told them the unthinkable. In verse 19, he says, "You can't serve the Lord." Joshua's saying, "You know, I've been with you for a long time. You're stubborn people. I don't think you're ready to make a commitment to serve God. You can't do it. You can't make a commitment." He was challenging them. Do you know who God is? Do you know the power that he has? Do you know he can lift you up and he can put you down? And so Joshua called them to this commitment. Look what the people say in verse 21. "And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord." Did you hear what the people said? These people stood in Joshua's face and said, "You said we can't do it, but we say, no, we can do it. We will serve the Lord." Listen, the whole world is drawing you away. It seems like it's impossible for you to serve the Lord. The flesh is pulling you. The world is pulling you. There's 1,000 influences that are telling you it's a waste of time to give your life for Christ. But Joshua says, "Are you ready to make the commitment? Are you ready to make a covenant with God?" Look what he says in verse 22. "And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves, that ye have what? Chosen you the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." This morning, I want to call you to make a witness against yourself. What have you chosen for your life, for your family, for your church? We as Americans are choosing the nation that we have. We chose our president, and we constantly are making choices. Texas made a good choice during the elections. We're making choices, right? Not everything goes our way. But you have to keep making right choices. You have to keep making right choices. And here, as Israel came before God, God said through Joshua, "Listen, you can't serve me." And the people said, "Yea, nay, but we will serve the Lord." And so there has to come a time of commitment in your life. I can remember in 1997, broken, just lost my wife. And I was standing at the grave, and her body was being lowered into the grave. And I said, "What am I going to say in front of these people at this moment in my life?" My heart told me to quit. I was grieving. I had left a successful career to become a missionary. And then I just lost my high school sweetheart. I had 3 children to raise, and I thought on my own for the rest of my days. And I said, "My future looks pretty bleak." But you know, as broken as I was at the side of her casket, as they lowered it into the ground, I said, "Today is a day to make a choice." So I said, "I pledge allegiance to the Lamb." Amen. with all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. And you know what? I believe the Holy Spirit led me to do that. Because there are days and moments and trials and problems in your life. I told you they're the game changers. When some people would say this is an occasion to fail, others find it an occasion to serve the Lord. Amen. When Job lost everything, he worshiped. Amen? Amen? And so we need to remember that. You might be going through an economic crisis and you say everything's gone wrong. You know what? Today's the day to make a decision that I'm going to serve the Lord. And you know what's a great thing is to come to church to start the year and say 2013, I'm up at the beginning of the year, and this is a year. The church has said this is the year of prayer. We're going to be praying this year to see the power of prayer at Worth Baptist Church. What are you committing to do? What's your commitment? Have you promised God this year, 2013, God, I'm going to serve you more than I've ever served you. I'm ready to make a commitment to you this morning at the altar. Not just come and pray and get up and go, but make a strong commitment to you about my family, about my life, about my plans, because I have been influenced by some to live a great life. But I know it's my responsibility before God to influence others to live a great life. And I want that. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, if you would come to the altar, we have men and women that would meet with you to show you how you could trust Jesus Christ. And how He could change your life. How you could have a better relationship with God that you would know if I die today, I'm going to go to heaven. I would ask you this morning to close your eyes and bow your head. These five simple things that Joshua called to the people of Israel. The call to obey. The call to obey His word. The call of faithfulness to love the Lord your God. The call to remember His promises, the call to worship God and God alone, the call of commitment that you will serve the Lord. Heavenly Father, as our heads are bowed, we've come before You. And Lord, this is a new year filled with new opportunities. And Lord, though we have failures in our life in the past, we want to trust You for strength to obey Your word tomorrow. I pray, Lord, for Worth Baptist Church that many in this church would say, today is the day I want to make a new and a fresh commitment to serve Jesus Christ. And that this morning the altars would be filled with people who know they have let their heart grow cold and they want to serve You and commit to You again today and make it a serious commitment before You that they would have a testimony before You. I pray, Lord, there's some here this morning that don't know Christ. That today would be their day of salvation. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and as the piano begins to play, I want to beg you this morning, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you please come? Would you come to the altar and say, Pastor Weaver, I don't know today if I would die, I would go to heaven. Would you come?